Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Talking Disney podcast. And this is the show where we like to talk about the Disney canon films. And we have so much fun. And I am film critic Rachel Wagner, and Stanford is here.
Hi.
And today we have with us an animation director. It's very exciting. We have with us Cal Brunker is here. And thank you so much, Cal, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Cal.
Thanks so much for having me. This is great.
Yeah. So for this, your first time on the podcast, so why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about how you got started in animation and your new film.
Great. So I'm Cal. I am the writer and co-writer and director of Paw Patrol and Paw Patrol the Mighty Movie, which comes out September 29th. So that's soon. We were just at the post facility finishing the mix and color today. So wow. It's fresh and we're really excited about it. In terms of how I got into animation, I always drew as a kid. I always knew I wanted a job outside of the kind of regular 9-to-5 and wanted to find a way to put my creativity to work. And I think when I was in high school, I grew up in a small town. We didn't really know about those. It's kind of, if you're in art, you worked in graphic design. That was the kind of the extent of what it could be in my hometown. But I kind of started reading books on like ILM and wow, artists worked on Star Wars. I guess somebody had to make that stuff. So I kind of did some research and found out about Sheridan College was looking into the 2D animation program. Took me 3 years tries to get in. I didn't get in the first time or the second time.
Oh, love that.
Portfolio and stuff. And but stuck with it and got into that. Loved it, drew my brains out, left and started as a doing story work. I worked on like Horton Hears a Who and some of the Ice Age movies, Despicable Me and Minions and Secret Life of Pets and a bunch of those kind of things from a storyboard artist standpoint. I was always trying to get the directing stuff going. You know, I love music and working with actors and writing and all of those things. And directing seemed to be a like melding pot for all my skills. And funnily enough, I don't draw. I draw fine, but I'm not great. And I can do a lot of things pretty well and well enough to talk to people and communicate that do it a lot better than me. So it ended up being a great kind of fit for me. I could communicate with our teams and hopefully, you know, get the best out of people. And so I've been doing this for a bunch of years now, about 10, yeah. I've been writing and directing.
Were you always there was it in California?
No, I was, I'm Canada based. I lived in New York for my time at Blue Sky, on Horton and one of the Ice Ages. Then I came back and I continued doing, the work on the Despicables and stuff. From Toronto. I moved to Vancouver for my first movie called Escape from Planet Earth. And then I've been back and forth. And so Paw Patrol is animated in Montreal, boarded all over Canada and the States. We have a few amazing artists there. And so, the pandemic hit while I was on the first Paw Patrol and we kind of figured out how to work remotely. And so we've got a lot of amazing talent who are all over the place, and we kind of coordinate this much more than we did before that hit. We were very much everybody in studio, but now there are artists you could just never get before. But now if you're willing to let them work on an island off Seattle, you can have them on the movie.
And yeah, they can be on your movie.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. It is interesting to see how animation, it seems to have really, not just survived the pandemic, but really thrived. I mean, it was amazing to me to think everybody seemed to get through the pandemic with animation and musicals. It was like everyone understood me for once.
Yeah, it was pretty, it was terrifying at first, apart from the health stuff, sure. But just from the, what's going to happen to our movie, is it going to keep going? But it's real testament to, you know, all the studios, but the studio I was working with, Micros Animation, they very quickly did the impossible and got 200 artists working from home, all logging in and like moving big files too. Like this stuff is not small. They figured out how to get it all going. And we had like 2 weeks of hiccup, and then it was like we'd been doing it all along. It was great. And it ended up being something that all of us could kind of pour our hearts into when you didn't really know what to make of the world. And so it was like kind of a, it was a like lovely kind of communal thing we were all working on, which was great.
Yeah. When you got assigned to work on the Paw Patrol movie, did you then have to go and watch like a bunch of the show and become?
So I have two kids. I have a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. That's their age now. So they were, I don't know what that would be, 2 and 5 or something when that happened, or maybe even a little younger than that. So we had Paw Patrol on at the house and a lot, so it didn't need a lot of extra viewing to figure out what was going on. And the way I got involved is they were taking pitches and my name came up. They asked me if I had any thoughts on it, and I came in and I said, this is what's meaningful to me and my kids when I watch it. And they had some ideas about the story already. And I said, you know, what if we do this? And I loved one of the episodes that always like stood out to me from the show that I remember watching with my kids is the one where they help the turtles cross the road. And so we put that in the first movie as the first scene is a little turtle crossing the road and that causes this big accident and they have to show up and save the day. But that was, it was certainly something that I saw how important it was to my kids. And that was the real attraction to try and, you know, go and make a pitch for it. So I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet that must have been intimidating, but exciting.
Well, I think what was funny at first is nobody, you know, in hindsight, it seems like an obvious thing, but in the beginning, not everybody was convinced that Paw Patrol, that people go to the theaters to see a theatrical version, because it's a young core audience. And so it hadn't really been proven out before. And so obviously our producers believed in it because they got the whole thing going and really, and it kind of opened up a new kind of niche that hasn't existed so much theatrically. And I think everyone's really excited about that. And you know, we're proud about having a lot of first-time moviegoers in our audience. This will be a first movie for all of them, and that's the real like honor. So it's cool to be part of.
Yeah, and I feel like I remember they did a lot of those like sensory, what do they call it? Sensitivity screenings with it.
Lights up, fewer trailers. Some of them there. I know we're doing those on movie 2 as well, because I think a lot of both kids who it's their first time at the theater, but also there are lots of people who just like a less intense theater environment, and so that was really it's really great, and I know Paramount's really committed to doing that as well. Again, it was really good for us on the first one, and I love that.
Yeah. Stanford, you had told me, right, that your nephew is a big fan?
I've got two nephews that are around the same age as your children, Cal, and they love Paw Patrol. Paw Patrol is a big part of their routine. Yeah. And then, you know, every day. And then they've had Paw Patrol birthday parties. That's where I've been involved.
Nice. Going
to the birthday party, really got the house decorated and, you know, Paw Patrol toys. And it's, you know, it's so positive. They love it. And I just respect you and everybody's work who works on it so much, just because creating such quality entertainment for kids, you know, and that I think really just translates so well. And this is really, it's a happy part of their day, you know, their daily routine. So thank you for all the good work you do, Cal.
Thanks
you
so
and your team. And excited about your new, so excited about your new film.
Yeah, I am too. I can't wait for the world to see it. We've really tried to raise the bar on the first one. The first one was, you know, it was quite a departure from the show, in terms of kind of intensity and themes and these kind of things. And when people seem to respond well to that, they kind of, that opened the door for us to go, great, let's try and push the second one even further. And I think we We certainly did. So
yeah. Great. Yeah. I'll be honest, I've never watched an episode of the show. I've just seen the movie, and I thought it had a real heart to it. I thought it was, I enjoyed it. I really did. And the whole thing with Chase and trying to figure out his identity and what mattered, and yeah, I think it seems like, from what I've seen of the show, it seems like you guys brought some light and colors and 4D quality that you don't get with the show, which was nice.
Yeah, we tried to, my kind of pitch to them was going, these characters are so iconic that from across the room, they should be identifiable. But as we get closer and closer and closer, we want to see fur, we want to see the anatomy of the way, you know, on the show, as most, a lot of shows are, dog legs are like tubes with little feet at the bottom. And we're like, no, we want real dog anatomy so that they can move in familiar ways and we can do all of this stuff. So again, like from across the room, they're identifiable, but as you get close, hopefully you can keep connecting more and more. And so there's a lot more happening on the big screen. And then from a story standpoint, you know, we try and really find themes that are universal, both for adults and kids, but that are really understandable by kids. The first movie is about, it's okay to be scared. That doesn't mean you're not a hero. But heroes work through it. That's Chase's thing to learn. He kind of, and funnily enough, it ended up coming out at a time when we'd all been living through a bunch of fear and what's going on. And so it seemed like it was a nice movie for people to kind of have a little, it was kind of a comforting thing for kids and stuff as well. So the second movie, is really about Skye, who's the smallest pup in the group, and she learns that even the smallest pup can make the biggest difference. So there's these trying to kind of build around these universal themes that everyone can relate to, both kids and adults. So
Well, you must have been stoked for the reviews of the first one. I think it was at like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes for like a long time, and then now it's at 80%. But
it was good. You know, what's funny, it's funny is you never know, you like it, and then you wait to see if people are kind of picking up what you were going for. And it was really exciting to see people kind of get it. And I think, like, even though these movies are, you know, targeted at a younger audience, you wouldn't believe how hard we work on them, and like, you know, crazy hours, and like pouring all of our blood, sweat, and tears into these things. And that goes not just for me, the whole hundreds of artists, really, really, like, it's the most important thing in the world. And so it's so wonderful when people come out and they respond to it. Like, I think our audience score last time I checked on the first movie was at 97, which was a wonderful kind of, like, people bothering to go in and say, you know, this was great. My kid watches it all the time. This is a good movie. So
it's harder to get people to log on positive. And it's easier because when you feel negative about something, you want to go
on. Totally. You want to scream it from the rooftops, right? Yeah.
Right. Cal, did you work with the same creative team on this film as you did with the first film?
The same studio, Mikros, and a lot of our same department heads came back, which is great. And
yeah,
I think a testament to just we really work hard to have a positive, supportive, empowering environment for our creative team. It's not it's best idea wins. You know, we really try and do that wherever we can. So I would say, and a ton of animators back. So yes, lots and lots of people back. Other people went on to different movies, or some of them are like, I can't animate another dog, please. So a lot of them are on Turtles, I'm sure. But we had people who are like very much diehard Paw fans who wanted to come back. So lots of the same team. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of Rachel's Reviews? Do you look forward to Family Movie Night, Female Film Critics Panels, or the Talking Disney podcast? If so, please consider supporting the podcast by becoming a patron. As a patron, you get to access monthly events such as the watch-alongs and Q&As, where you get to talk to stars and find out the behind the scenes of the movie making industry. And you can pick what I review for family movie night or even become a guest on the podcast. Podcasts and YouTube channels are expensive, and I really, really could use your help. I would so appreciate it. You also get to be a member of the Facebook group where we talk about all the films that we're seeing and we have so much fun. Go to patreon.com/hallmarkies and select one of the Rachel's fan tiers. That's patreon.com/hallmarkies. Before we go on to your ranking list, I just wanted to ask you about Son of Bigfoot, because it was a very exciting movie for me, because you don't have that many opportunities as a critic to really like champion a film, and it makes it so like good for the spirit when you have that opportunity, because you can feel like, oh, I'm a big downer, you know. And so when you find something that you really love and you tell people about it, it's exciting. And this was that experience for me, because when I just saw the poster and everything, I was like, oh, that is, I don't know. And it was the year that there were like all these Yeti movies. There was Smallfoot, and there was this, and there was Missing Link, and just a bunch of other movies. Mm-hmm. And I just really loved it. I thought it was so lovely. I loved the animation. I loved the story. I loved the music. It was very exciting. I did my original review was in Rotoscopers, and nobody, like hardly anybody believed me. They were like, what? This is good? I'm like, yes, it's good. And and then I did a review on my YouTube channel, and I have a small channel. So it has over 10,000 views, my review of Son of Bigfoot, which is a lot for me. And so it was just a cool experience for me. And I loved the film. I thought it was great.
Oh, thanks so much. That's the only original spec that my partner Bob Arlen and I ever did. It was right after the first movie we'd finished, but it hadn't come out yet, and we were out for lunch, and I pitched him this idea that was mostly just a title at that point. I was like, wouldn't it be interesting to tell us this kind of story? And the title kind of caught his attention. We started talking about it, and just going over lunch, we were completely exhausted from making our first movie, and then we found this like renewed excitement to go, let's just write it and let's see what happens. And it got optioned by a studio in Belgium called N-Wave, and then they called and they're like, we're making it. And they made a sequel to it too, which was great, which we also wrote. But the first one was really, what was lovely about it is, from a story standpoint, it was one of those things where it just was the story we came up with. We didn't have to work in a bunch of, you know, pre-existing stuff or deal with, and it was just like a really pure kind of simple story about a family, and yeah, we had a great time. So I'm glad that
could you believe that it was like Yeti was on everyone else's mind?
Annoying. It was really annoying when those all were coming out. Son of Bigfoot did great on Netflix, I think, but it didn't really get a North American release. It was did well in Europe and stuff.
I can't even remember where I first heard of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it crossed your plate, but I'm that thrills me that you enjoy it. I definitely read your Rotoscopers, because when your movie comes out, people might pretend that they're not doing this, but you're like, like, who's seeing it? What do they think?
Checking stuff out. Yeah.
Well, I always tried to, I'm not sure if it was on the list of movies submitted to the Academy, but that's usually where I try to watch every single animated film that's submitted.
Wow.
And every year. So I don't know if it was on there or if I found it through looking on there or what, but anyway, it was really exciting. So, all right, well, let's dive into your ranking. And did you have any kind of, and you'd said that this isn't real, these are just your 12 favorite.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily. I don't know that I can rank them. And what's funny for me is there was this kind of, I'd always had Disney around, just in the way that you know, most of us did as a kid, but it was as a teenager when I started getting interested in drawing and comics, and I started to really get excited by the art of animation and started to kind of, whether it was like freeze frame through scenes and start to like draw what was on the screen, and then look for, like, when I got turned on to the art of books, I spent all my money on, you know, all of the art of books and just,
oh, I love those, yeah,
incredible,
yeah, I love those
craftsmanship too behind all this stuff. And so my list is not my my intense love of these movies comes from a time when I was falling in love with animation for the first time. So there are lots of, while I was doing this list, I was like, I should like go back and look at like, what's some great older stuff that's got like awesome Milt Kahl animation in it and all this stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna stick to the like, my real, like, if you ask me what my favorites are, here's what they would be. Mm-hmm. And they're all around the same, most of them are around the same era in animation, because it's when the love affair started. And so it's my the number of times I've watched Beauty and the Beast is too much. Like, it's
probably, I've lost count. No, for me.
And like my walls, like, even in when I got to college and I started like digging deeper into like who are the artists behind this stuff, is, you know, Glenn Keane life drawings and sketches of Beast that we'd like photocopy and blow up and tape all over our walls. And like my college dorm was like wallpaper of, you know, James Baxter's Belle or like his Hunchback or whatever. And so it was all that, or Mark Hen's Belle. They were both fantastic, a little different, but both fantastic. And so that's where this list comes from. And in terms of, I don't know that I could rank them very well, but Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin would be near the top.
Well, the first one you had, let's start with the first one that you had on your list. You had, I think it was Zootopia at the top of your list. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you love about Zootopia?
For me, I felt on my list, I'm a huge Pixar fan, but those aren't official canon movies, and I felt like Zootopia was a wonderful kind of, Zootopia and Tangled are my two favorite Disney 3D movies.
Yeah.
And I thought the design and world of Zootopia were fantastic. I thought it was a new kind of take on the from a story structure, the kind of twist and stuff. There wasn't that much kind of clever plotting in that way in other movies. Zootopia did the person who you'd think would be good turns out to be bad, and they've got this whole secret plot and all this stuff. That wasn't as common then. And so that was fun and fresh, and it was cool that it was dark, and I loved the animation. I thought Judy was just gorgeous, and I thought the voice performances were fantastic. So yeah, that's Zootopia.
Yeah, it's a really nice friendship story, and I'm excited for them hopefully to go back to it. I think they're doing a series, right, Stanford?
Zootopia? Well, they've done a little kind of a mini series on this on Disney Plus. I think they're doing a sequel. But I could be wrong, Rach. But I
think, yeah, because there's so many lands that they barely were in at all, and so I think there's so much they could do and so many cases they could have, and so I'm looking forward to that. I have it at 23, so I really enjoyed it.
I have it at 16. I love it.
Nice. And I think that was the bottom of my list too, rather than the top of my list, I think, for the one I sent you.
Right. The first one to talk about is what I meant.
Sure. Oh, we're working our way up.
Okay, yeah.
I got it. So it's number 12 for me, probably on that list, I guess.
Yes.
But I'm not going to commit to an order. I'll give you a top three or five or something.
That's fair. I'm the same. Like my top 20 are all kind of like, you know, the same.
Yeah, I know. I have like a 25 car pileup.
Yep.
All right. Well, what do you have next?
I'm working up from the bottom. Well, I'll go with, why don't we keep the, we'll do the CG ones together and then we'll get into the 2D. So
okay.
I love Tangled. To me, Tangled from an, this is not next because it's near the bottom, because this is near the top for me.
Mm-hmm.
But Tangled, to me, was one of the first times 3D animation looked like it should. When you saw the animation on the faces, I think, and that was a, Glenn King was a huge part of that as well, is I think there was a effort made to force the computer to do what drawing had been able to do, and got this kind of suppleness and expression and the curves and the kind of level of posing. It to me is like a 2D movie, the first 2D movie in 3D. And I just absolutely loved it for that. I thought the story was fantastic. I loved the songs. I loved the design and palette and everything. And it was the first, I think, you know, her face was the first 3D face that I was like, that's what it should look like. That's what 3D can be. And so, yeah, I think, of course, all the story and staging and everything is wonderful. But for me, that's why that movie is so full. It was like, I felt like it was a high bar. And I feel like sometimes also an underrated Disney movie. I feel like a lot of those other, but it is the groundwork for everything that came after. And I think it's really, it should be recognized for its awesomeness.
Yeah, and I went into it with really low expectations. I had been pretty disappointed by Princess and the Frog. And I saw this, and the ads were very Flynn Rider heavy, and I was like, oh, this is nice, it's gonna be lame. And then they were trying to make it almost appear like Disney Shrek kind of, and in the ads, and then I saw it and I was blown away. Absolutely.
What's amazing is, yeah, selling it as Disney Shrek, but what it really was Disney.
Like, yes, exactly.
They do great.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. I have to say, I'm not of the, I wouldn't know how to do it, I don't think, but I'm not one of those people who was like, why do they just break into song? This is stupid. That was very much a thing, especially in the like animation world for a while. Mm-hmm. That was never my camp. I always loved the Disney musical. I thought they did it better than anybody else. Same. And I would love to see them lean into that. I feel like they're obviously dealing with a bit of a identity at the moment, is like, what's our thing now?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'd love to see them like lean into that. They pioneered a thing that's excellent. Mm-hmm. And just like, do it. Nobody else.
I would too. I'm very hopeful that this wish, I'm really hopeful that it is. But they've been disappointing. I mean, I did really like Encanto, but as far as, we haven't gotten a real fairy tale with a real villain for a while, and I would just love that. That would be fun.
Yeah, I hope it's great.
Fingers crossed.
I love Tangled too. Yeah, I have it at number 10, and I really appreciate your breakdown of it, because I agree with you. When I saw it, it felt like this was a Disney film, mm-hmm. you know, and for all the reasons you so eloquently stated.
I have it at 3, film. So I definitely
agree. Okay.
Yeah.
And three. I'll never forgive the Academy for not nominating it. I can't believe
it wasn't nominated.
No, it
wasn't
not.
Even nominated.
What won that?
There
year?
Was only 3 that year for some reason. Who knows why? Instead of 5, and yeah.
What won that year? Do
Toy
you know?
Story 3.
Okay.
Which is a wonderful film, but
it's a good one. You know,
but yeah. Still, my history is bad. Was that around the Disney acquiring Pixar time?
It was a few years after. This was in 2010, and I believe the Pixar acquisition was around 2006.
Okay. So I wonder if that not being nominated was like strategy to get Toy Story on. I don't know, but
oh no, yeah, because it was nominated for Best Picture too.
Yeah,
for sure, three. But anyway, well, so what do you have next?
On my list, I have Hercules.
Nice.
Hercules. For me, it's exciting about that. Songs are amazing. Kind of Hirschfeld design style was really exciting. Is like they'd messed around with that kind of stuff more on shorts, but to really commit to a whole movie with such aggressive isn't the right word, but like such a bold design style that was very, very flat. But then they had these characters like moving and acting in three dimensions, but then would hit these poses that were like Hirschfeldian, you know, incredibly graphic, beautiful things. I thought that was really a really fantastic use of the medium, really groundbreaking, which was awesome. And voice acting was fantastic in it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, you said that I really like that kind of traditional narrative structure. But Hercules is one that kind of abandons that, and it's pretty, it's very messy, but it has so many things that I like in the animation style, the meta humor, the incredible gospel songs. Like, nobody would ever think to put gospel music, Vegas, superhero, things like Greek celebrity mythology.
Yeah.
But it, where, I don't know, I enjoy it too. I have a lot of fun with it. Yeah, it's I have it at 20.
Where's that on your list?
It's 34 for me, but I really love Hercules, you know. I think it's just kind of weird and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I'm with you. I particularly love the art. I think that the animation,
that's how I
is
feel too.
Yeah.
The Pink Floyd guy,
Gerald Scarfe.
Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah, I have it at 20. So,
awesome. So,
what do you have next?
I got Pocahontas on my list. I think for me, while I was thinking about this, it has to do with my absolute love for all things Glenn Keane and his sequence of pastel animation of her and Paint with All the Colors of the Wind. That's on my list.
Isn't that the most gorgeous thing?
Nobody had really done that before, right? Before it was, you had to close in all your lines and you had to fill it. And this is just like a real moment of animation being art that completely supported the story. And so that's on that list for that scene for me.
Mm. Yeah, it's not my favorite, because I just think she's kind of annoying, but I do agree the animation is beautiful, and the music and Judy Kuhn's beautiful singing. So I have it at 50, but I do appreciate things about it.
I have it at 36, and I think it's, you know, I get a little down with the history or lack thereof, but it is so beautiful. I'm with you. I cannot get enough of that Colors of the Wind sequence. Actually, I just love the animation. I think I feel like it's so reminiscent in many ways of Sleeping Beauty. Mm-hmm. and the way that they the forest was drawn, you know, the backgrounds are spectacular, and I love to look at it. And then I'm with you, Judy Kuhn. I could listen to her all day. I love her.
So what do you have next?
Okay, Lilo and Stitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's on my list. I thought it was I wouldn't say I love the movie from a story standpoint as much as I loved it from a departure and design style. So it really was something fresh for Disney. I thought the hand of Chris Sanders really came through to the screen. It looked very unlike anything that had come before. I thought the characters were lovely. I liked that the female characters weren't all waify. They kind of were stocky and cool looking, and that felt really fresh to me. I thought just kind of irreverent, fresh things that we hadn't seen from Disney before. Her being obsessed with listening to Elvis records and all these kind of things. That was really fun. And I thought the watercolor backgrounds, I remember getting that book and the art of book and just being obsessed with the artistry of that. So I think that's more connected to the style and the design and stuff. That's why it's on my list.
Yeah, I really like that they have Lilo being a really weird kid. Like, she's very strange, like pictures of fat people and like, I don't know, just all that kind of stuff. So I like that, and in their relationship and the Ohana, and I related to it because I have much younger siblings that my youngest sibling is 18 years younger than me. So I could definitely, you know, kind of connect with being mini mom. And so I appreciated that. It's sometimes it feels a little downbeat to me that it's like, oh my gosh, especially when the house gets destroyed. It's just like, what else could happen to these poor people? Yeah. But I do appreciate it, and the watercolor and the Hawaii of it all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I can see that.
The watercolor and watercolor and the Hawaii setting, I love so much. I've talked to Rachel about this a lot. The alien subplot drives me absolutely bonkers. So I have it pretty low. I have it at 53. but if it's art only, you know, it would be way other, just because I think that the watercolor backgrounds are just stunning. And I'm with you. I think the character designs are so unusual. It just feels like you're looking at just a Chris Sanders painting.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
All right. What do you have next?
Okay, so now we're getting into my real loves. What do we got? Tarzan.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Tarzan again.
Yeah.
My big Glenn Keane obsession.
Yes.
And I remember absolutely, this was kind of feels like pre-internet to me, though that might have been kind of internet-y times. But I remember, and I still have it somewhere, the Tarzan, remember they did the release poster of just the pencil sketch of
yes
that? And that's, I like was obsessed with trying to get my hands on one of those, because it was like, he looked so cool, but also it was Glenn's drawing, and I was like, I gotta have this thing. So I still have it. Like, I don't think I ever put it up. It was like, it was always in the tube.
You got it in the tube.
If I can find a second one, I'll put that up. But yeah.
Now, I found one of those too. I love that. I love that poster so much. Yeah. It's so cool.
And so for me, songs are great. The dealing with the jungle. Like, I mean, if you think about that for the first time, that was the first time they'd done that, like 3D paint where you're painting and he's going through all the vines and all this stuff, and you're like, it was pretty groundbreaking and dynamic. I thought the story was really lovely. I feel like Jane meeting Tarzan and the relationship between Tarzan and his mom and all that stuff, like it worked on a story level for me, on an art level for me, on a technology breaking. That was a really special movie for me.
Yeah. It's so good. I have it at 17. I love the deep canvas. It's really, really fun. And the relationship to Tarzan and Jane, really good. Goes to some dark places. And sure does. Yeah,
the end of Clayton in that movie, I still think about going, that is so
disturbing.
I mean, officially it's not Tarzan's fault, I get it, but this is pretty dark.
It's the jungle.
Yeah.
I love this movie too, for all the reasons you both said. I have it at number 20. Love it.
Now, nice. Stanford, you were at the D23 panel, right? For the anniversary panel?
Yeah.
For Tarzan? What was that like?
Well, I loved it. They were just the whole creative team was there, I think minus Phil Collins. But just talking about, you know, the creation of this movie and the pushing of the technology and the art, really trying to get the story right, trying to, you know, emulate the Edgar Rice Burroughs source material, but also make it, you know, great for a modern audience. And I, you know, it's just like one of those, I just wish I could, you know, beam back in time and be there in some of these story meetings and stuff. The work is so great in that too, as you know, as you mentioned, Cal, with Tarzan doing his Tony Hawk stuff, you know, through the jungle. It just really brought it to life, I think, in a really fresh way. Great stuff.
Yeah. So what do you have next?
So Tarzan, I got Hunchback next.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hunchback, what is, to me, I love the music. I can't believe they made the movie. It's so dark, and it's, I kind of, when I first saw it, I didn't really connect to how dark that would be for kids, but that must have been a wild kind of trip to the theater, I think, for parents not expecting it. I think some of the themes and stuff are quite adult, especially with, what's his name, Frollo,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And him, his kind of, what he's after. So, but the things that I love the music, and it's when I for lack of a better word, fell in love with the artwork of James Baxter, when I saw there was a VHS tape that we were all passing around like contraband at college, which had line tests of his Quasimodo animation and that stuff where he's standing up on, you can find it online for sure now, but he's standing up on the on the top of Notre Dame, and he's doing the like One Day Out There song, and he spreads his arms and the camera goes back, and you're like seeing that, those drawings. And the truth is, like, nobody can draw like James Baxter. Like, he is like from outer space. He can envision things in three dimensions, that's, and make them express, right? Like, there are people who can do structure, and that's great, but he somehow managed to do all of this crazy angles and stuff on these characters, but it was like that wasn't the focus. He was just worried about performance, but he had this technical ability that let characters act with these head tilts and all these kind of things that you'd never seen before. So Hunchback was the beginning of falling in love and trying to track down everything he ever did. And so that's why it's on there for me, that and the music. And I still can't believe they made it, because it's so adult and so dark.
Yes. Yeah, I do admire the boldness. I saw it while babysitting the nephews of a friend of mine. And so I had not the best introduction, because I was just like, oh my gosh,
yeah, what's exactly, this movie? Right?
And I do think that the Broadway musical kind of refined it, and that's the best version of it for me. I have it at 45, but there are things that I admire about it. It was so bold in the animation.
And I have to say too, that I was never an incredible perspective drawer, but that was the kind of like obsession with layouts and like three-point perspective of Tudor buildings and like all of that's like the layout masterclass, that whole movie.
Yeah, when they come down into the Festival of Fools, that's totally great.
I respect this movie. The animation and the music, I think, is sublime. I have real issues with the story. I just, because it's just as you're saying, Cal, like, I can't believe they made it. And I've read the book, you know, too, so I'm familiar with the source material, probably as we all are. And I thought they did some incredible job. It's those gargoyles that just pushed me over the edge. I know that they had to put in some stuff to lighten it up.
The gargoyles were a very odd fit in that.
Yeah.
Like, you almost wish they'd just gone all the way.
I know. Well, that's why I do too.
That's why the Broadway musical is better. Because they're there, but they're way better.
Interesting.
In my opinion.
That's cool.
So
I have Hunchback quite a bit lower. I have it at 54.
There's no shame in this. Like I said too, for me, a lot of these movies are they're on my list. And when I thought about coming in to talk about them, I thought what would be the best thing is to just talk about movies that were meaningful to me. And
sure, absolutely. So, no, I hesitate to even bring up my ranking because I'm with you. I just think there's so much artistic merit and pleasure, you know, too, that you get from just seeing these films that have so many remarkable components in them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think to Rachel's point, I probably saw that movie when I was 18 for the first time, not with kids around, and so it didn't, I wasn't kind of going should we stop this, you know. Yeah, exactly.
What do you have next?
I have Mulan on my list. I really like Mulan as a story. I love it as a art style. That's when I got excited about the story work of Dean Dubois. I absolutely loved and tried to draw, oh my gosh, I'm blanking, the dragon. What's his name?
Mushu.
Mushu.
I tried to draw Mushu nonstop. We had an animator named Charlie Bonifacio who came in and lectured at Sheridan. He was an animator on Mushu, and we did a bunch of stuff live, like in the studio where he was like keying out a thing. It was like such a exciting, he's such a fun character to draw and so like animation centric. But yeah, the story's fantastic. Songs are great. Villain's scary. It all works for me.
Yeah, I love it too. I have it at 9.
Ooh, nice.
It has so many good songs, good story, great character in Mulan. And yeah, I know that the ancestors are a little cringe, but overall, I really enjoyed it. I actually just got to see it as they had it for a movie, outdoor movie, the Sierra here in Orem. And so I got to see it with a crowd, and it was really fun with a crowd.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was cool.
I love and respect Mulan so much. That is such a great film. For all the reasons that you said, I have it at number 15.
Yeah.
And again, my top 20 are all, you know,
nice.
Kind of all the same. Yeah. But I love it. I love it.
So I'm interested to see where you guys have this next one. I have Emperor's New Groove on my list.
Yay.
And I really actually love that movie. I thought it was was fantastic from the incredible, like, Patrick Warburton's Kronk is the funniest, in the whole canon.
Amen.
Eartha Kitt's amazing as Yzma. I thought like David Spade perfectly cast. Mm-hmm. Like he's a funny, smarmy guy in real life, and they actually found a character that you
do that. I know.
And John Goodman's like such a lovable, like kind, like as Pacha, and their journey together and Kuzco's like transformation. Mm-hmm. I love it. The art style's incredible, mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. like flat and beautiful. I did a bunch of like animation tests with Pacha in school, like trying to like steal John Goodman lines from other movies and like animate them to try and learn so that movie always mm-hmm. worked for me. It seemed like it was really funny without totally sacrificing the story. I find oftentimes movies that are funny, it's at the expense of the journey, and mm-hmm. I felt that one was really fantastic. And what was it called? What's the documentary? Was it
The Sweatbox?
Sweatbox, right?
Yeah, which should be. It sounds better than it actually is. when you watch it, it's pretty boring. But
the only thing that I like about the documentary is it is for people who haven't been behind the scenes of the like crushing like process of making one of these things.
Yeah.
Like, director replacements. There's this thing with like Sting just going, they threw out all my music. It was him, right? In the thing.
Yeah, it was Sting.
Yeah.
It was his wife who made the documentary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what I find interesting about that is I think people can't imagine how crazy movie making is, and that's one of the like brief, like open the door and let people see how bonkers this process is.
Yeah. Well, I love it. It has probably my favorite joke in all of Disney. Wrong lever.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why did we even have that lever? And then I love when she turns into my voice.
Is that my voice?
Yeah, exactly. Wrong lovers is my voice. So funny. I have it at 19. So made my top 20.
I love that movie so much. It's so funny. I love and what a cool animation style too, right? Just you're talking about it. I'd love to see some of those John Goodman drawings, Cal. Those have fun.
Oh my gosh.
Those are so cool. I have it at 29, but that's honestly mostly just because it was so hard to rank, you know, because I just there's so many of these movies that I just
It also doesn't really feel quite like a Disney movie, but
yeah, it feels a lot more like kind of a Warner Brothers Looney Tunes kind of
something in the middle.
It's a compliment, you know what I mean? I just think it's, but yeah, it does not feel
totally
Disney. I can't believe they got away with it too.
Well, when I saw it, I had put it off because I was like, oh, it turns into a llama, what on earth? And I was in college, I was going to college at the time, and we were working with this group called the Lost Boys of Sudan, helping them become, and they were showing Emperor's New Groove at the college movie theater. And so as part of a thing, we took them to see it. And I was like, oh, I guess I gotta go. So I was like, well, this is so good. This is so funny. I can't believe it. So it was a huge
definitely
surprise.
A surprise. Definitely.
Yeah.
And a laugh fest like no other. I don't think there's a funnier.
I Disney definitely agree
out there. It's so great.
Yeah. All right. What's your next one?
I got Lion King on my list.
Yeah.
Which, funnily enough, I just love everything about the movie.
Yeah.
It's perfect. The story is fantastic. The art is incredible.
Yeah.
Animation is so good. Jeremy Irons as Scar is just the best villain.
Brilliant. Perfect.
I also, hilarious piece of trivia is Lion King is a G movie, if you can believe that. It was
is Hunchback, if you believe
was
that.
It
yeah,
was Hunchback, that's absurd.
It was not PG.
So what's funny, I'm
oh, that's crazy,
I did not know that, because the new Paw Patrol is a PG. We got a PG on it because there's like lots of stuff blows up. It's a superhero movie, there's nothing inappropriate. Nobody dies. It's not, but it's so funny to look at a movie like Lion King, which is like, and Hunchback even crazier.
Yeah, Hunchback.
Way crazier. So I guess at one point those ratings were easier to come by. Now it feels like everything's PG.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I just checked to make sure G rated.
That's bananas.
It is. I can't believe that.
Got your song about Last in Paw Patrol.
Yeah. So Lion King is again like James Baxter doing Rafiki, just incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And
that scene where he lives in you. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
And the fact they took that scene out of the remake just made me like, what, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah. I didn't remember that. I have to admit I'm only medium on seeing the remakes. I sometimes did see
they're horrible.
But I sometimes wonder why. You know,
it's only about money.
Do a new version, but it's weird when they're kind of more shot for shoddy.
It's bizarre. So I have it at 8. I love it too. Absolutely love it. The only thing I don't like about Lion King is I don't like the silly intro to Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I don't know what's happening, but they don't have a clue. You know, I don't know. I just, it's such a pretty song that I kind of wish that wasn't there. But small critique for a absolutely wonderful film.
Yeah, I have Lion King at 21. I absolutely love it. You know, not that I want to dwell on this, those horrible live action remakes, but Cal, the, you know, that photorealistic CGI just stripped every single character of emotion. You know, they're just kind of these, they just have the same look no matter what's happening when Mufasa dies or when he's, you know,
they're so depressing.
Just whatever. They're so just blank. Whereas with animation, it just, you know, these, you know, like Scar, his whole be prepared thing.
Yeah.
That whole, you know, fascist stuff and all that is so scary and so cool. And in the live action one, you can't even, it's just, you know, this like, you know, puppet that has no emotionless puppet. I think
what's funny is that for me, that becomes, it's a design choice. Like once you want them to look like real lions, you can't, they would look ridiculous.
Right.
If you made them.
But they were emoting, right?
Yeah. And that becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And I think it's certainly not the approach that I would take. I feel like seeing the caricature of these emotions and really understanding the thought process through the facial expressions and stuff is, I think, where a lot of that audience connection comes with. But I understand the, if you end up doing that, then it's not, you can't really sell it as the live action.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarky in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anne of Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's tpublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies.
What do you have next?
I have Aladdin. I feel like Glenn Keane animated on every movie on my list almost. love Aladdin for the songs, love it for the story, love it for the villain. Jafar is so great. And the genie is just Robin Williams as being completely bananas and it's somehow working and animation taking advantage of that. It's pretty like, feels like a moment in time with him, especially that you just, they'll never recapture that kind of thing, that energy, that zaniness. It was so original and I really cared about Aladdin and Jasmine. I really liked them as a pair. And I even felt sad for the carpet, you know, it all worked great.
Yeah, I feel like, how could somebody like outright dislike Aladdin? It's so cheerful. It's so fun. It's got a great villain. I have it at 16, but I think it's a hoot. I really enjoy it.
I have Aladdin at 6. It's just one of my all-time favorites. I just adore it.
Great. So the last one on my list, I think we've got to everything else. But I have questions for you guys after. I want to know number one. Beauty and the Beast, I would say, is undoubtedly my number one Disney movie of all time. I started watching that as when I started getting into animation, and I watch it every couple of years. I watch it with my kids. I watch the new version that they did. I know all the songs by heart. I've tried to learn to draw all the characters. The story is beautiful. It's the right level of scary. Mm-hmm. The relationship between Belle and the Beast is amazing. It's between her and her father is amazing. Gaston is a wonderful villain who is a complete nutcase.
And I love how he lets just one person not liking him.
Yeah.
That's all it takes, because everyone else loves him. He's everyone's favorite guy.
Yeah. Yeah. What a,
down hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have it also at number one.
Yes.
I do too. It's my number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. I was going to be like, Mike, I want to know what your number ones are. So it's, that's great.
So well, great. I always battle between The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. The Little Mermaid was the first movie I ever really loved. I saw it when I was 8, and at this old grand theater here in Utah called the Villa, where they have a balcony, I'll never.
It was a great movie palace.
I'll never forget it. It was an incredible experience. My sister and I would have who sounds the most like Ariel singing competitions at night, I really connected with Ariel's character. But then Belle was just amazing. It was one of my introductions to like musical theater, and the whole opening sequence when she's walking through the street. I also have really warm memories of the Broadway musical. I saw it with my grandmother in New York, one of my first trips. And so there's just a lot of points of connection with, and the whole idea of the beauty is found within is beautiful. So,
I think it's one of the finest films ever, and just it's definitely my top Disney movie for sure. Mm-hmm. Love, 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 love it.
Yeah,
it's funny. Little Mermaid is only not on my list because I grew to love that film as an adult and sharing it with my daughter. Mm-hmm. That's how we sing it in the car all the time. We do all of that. But these my original list when I was 20. That wasn't the movie I was taken with, mm-hmm. but now as a dad, it's really meaningful.
Yeah.
Seeing what it means to my daughter too is just mm-hmm. it's amazing.
Yeah. I feel like sort of that this generation's Little Mermaid is Frozen, and this generation's Beauty and the Beast is Tangled.
Interesting.
In theme.
Yeah, interesting. Feels, point, yeah. Rach. Yeah.
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 I feel that. But yeah, it maybe Aladdin is a Moana, same director.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you have any other questions you wanted to ask of us?
Oh, well, I would love to know what your top three are, each of you.
Well, so mine is Beauty and the Beast, The Little Mermaid, and Tangled are my top three.
Oh, nice. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And my top three are Beauty and the Beast, The Jungle Book, and Cinderella.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, I love old movies.
Awesome. The Jungle Book is should be on my list. That was so, so mm-hmm. beautiful.
And I have Cinderella at 4, so we're real close on that
Yeah,
one.
We're close on.
So, because that was and I have Sleeping Beauty at 7. I love the fairy tales.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of those in my... Yeah, top 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
love them.
Well, that's thank you so much for coming to talk with us. This was
this was such a treat. Thank you for your time. We're really excited about your movie.
Yeah,
but I'm not even. I think I'm just going to go by myself without my nephews. I'm going.
It's for everybody. So I would that mean a lot to me. I would love to hear what you guys think of it when you see it.
We will go together. That'll be fun.
Oh, that'd be fun. Let's do that, Rach. That'd be fun.
Yeah, shoot me a message when you
yes, yes, and will. Yes.
Well, if people want to follow you on socials, all that fun stuff, how do they do that?
I'm only really on Twitter. My Instagram mm-hmm. is just private for my family and most pictures of my kids. Okay. So I'm just Cal Brunker on Twitter or whatever it's going to be called next. I guess it's
right. Formerly known as
call it Twitter.
Yeah.
But that's where I am kind of publicly and I mostly just share movie stuff and things on there and
when does the new film come out?
September 29th. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're close. Things are just starting to ramp up. Our new poster just came out a day ago or 2 days ago.
Oh, cool. And, okay.
So everything's, you're going to start to see it everywhere before too long.
Yeah. Also the same date, both in Canada and in the US too, right? Same release date. And okay.
Yeah. And even though it's made here, it's Paramount's putting it out.
Okay.
It's a big release and it's worldwide and it'll be lots of major markets coming on around September 29th and then a few trickling a little bit later.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Yeah, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
Well, Stanford, how can people find you?
Well, I'm trying to hang out on Threads and it's not as fun, but you know, there's stuff. But anyway, on Threads and also on Twitter, but on Threads, I'm at Stanford Clark and I have a movie podcast and blog at moviespastandpresent.com.
And you can find us at Disney Talking on formerly Twitter. And you find me at Rachel's Reviews all over the place. And just check that out. And we have our playlist of all of our Talking Disney episodes. So check that out. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate that. 5 stars. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. And we also have the patron group and merch store. So check that out. Hashtag Animation Junkie Shirts. And thanks again, Cal. We really, really appreciate it. And we'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.